Welcome to Life Journal 101, getting the most out of your life journal. And for most of you, it's probably a new experience this year since we just began Life Journals at the Well Community Church. You have a handout in front of you. I want to look at that first question right there. What is a life journal? Well, they look like this, and they're basically Bible reading plans. Okay, you guys are familiar with them if you've been engaged with them. There's a place for information. There's a place that tells you a little bit of how a journal can help in life. It's an acronym for Listen, Inquire, Faith, Experience. Daily pages, sample entry, you know, with soap, scripture, observation, application, and prayer. So it gives you some steps on how to do that. We're going to unpack some of those, but mostly today be dealing with the idea of setting up health for yourself. Okay, and the Life Journals are no magical thing. Literally, we got them from another church and identified with the reading plan of which you get the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice within a year. And it's a place to write in it, too. So we may even make some future changes down the road for what it looks like and how we need to package it. But for us, it's basically a Bible reading plan that we push our people to help them become self-feeders. You know, we talked a little bit today in our plenary session about the idea of taking the training wheels off. And for us as a church, Life Journals are going to help that because people can become dependent on books and DVD series or other kind of curriculum to fuel their spiritual life. And all those may be great. Beth Moore studies are great. Max Lucado books are great. But ultimately, it's our desire as a church that we get people into the Word week in and week out, day in and day out, growing. And so a life journal for us is more of a lifelong deal rather than a completed task or a destination. You'll see on your handout, there's some places for you to fill in words, but also places that just to walk away with. You can make notes on the side. I'm going to speak to each one of the tips, and then we're going to go over a resource list, which I'll hand out to you in a second towards the end, and then we'll handle any questions or ideas and kind of brainstorm as a group. First one, tip one, prayer and discipline. You need to pray for God's illumination into your time. And I know it's so easy for us to miss this point when we approach our devotional life because it can seem awkward if it's not habitual or if we haven't done it a lot and it feels fake and vague and ill-warm. But just to sit there with your Bible and your life journal, be it at Starbucks, be it at home, be it wherever you're at, and just take a moment to say, God, open my mind, open my heart. I believe this is your word. I believe this is what you've given me to change my life. And, you know, use this time now to do it. And you'll be amazed at what that kind of does to get your heart and mindset. So don't ever forget that and let it be the default practice. For me, I'm not there yet, but I'm getting better that when my Bible opens, I always pray. And just say, God, help me here. And I think that needs to be our initial response when we open God's Word, because it's the very thing that changes our lives. The next for you, find a common time and a common place. We're in a world that causes us to be busy all the time and have meetings all the time. We're going to talk about that busyness throughout all these tips. But finding a common place and a common time will help set some structure for your devotional life and really give you wins. You know, teams need wins in their column before they feel like they're having a good season. And a lot of times we can rely on a camp experience or a conference or a concert or a retreat or a one-time deal that's like, that was so awesome, I wish every day could be like that. Reality is a devotional life is not going to be like that every day. It's going to be more drudgery and not where you're dreading, but just digging through and kind of chipping away at the mountaintop. You climb to the top of a mountain by taking a step at a time. And it's a lifelong process. Some advice I got early on in ministry, I sat with a mentor of mine back in Arkansas. He said, you're running a sprint right now. And Christianity isn't a sprint. Ministry isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. And we need to train ourselves appropriately. Meaning if we try to sprint through this thing and read as much as we can and soak in and soak in, eventually we're going to burn out and not have anything to sustain us. But if we believe that God's work will affect us over time, you know, we just need to kind of take it that this is a lifetime I'm training for. And it'll really carry into eternity, right? I mean, if we imagine heaven and all its wonder and no sickness, no death, and praise and glory and golden streets and all that, and if we don't have Christ there, then it's probably not really heaven. And if really our devotional life is going to be an outpouring of eternity, you think we want to get some strides and some wins and some confidence they're building. You know, and so, because really if we come to the day that the Lord takes us home, then we're spending eternity praising his name and in perfect devotion with Christ. So why can we, you know, why should we not strive for more of that here in our life? Because really, when our intake is filled up, we can give more to people. When our intake is high, our outtake will be profitable. Next one there under tip one of prayer and discipline. Don't let your schedule dictate your devotion. Let your devotion dictate your schedule. The world will always call for more. And you're going to get a hey, meet me for coffee here. Can we do lunch here? Can you come over here tonight? And you need to let your devotion dictate some of your schedule and guard it like it's a meeting. There's times in my day for me where I'm like, you know what, I won't take a meeting. I'll take emergency stuff, obviously, if my wife's calling or something's wrong with the boy or ministry crisis. But I say, you know, from this time, my assistant knows that, the other staff know that, this is time I use for devotion. And for me, it's in the morning. You know, an easy, obvious, strategic time for yourself. For some of you, morning's like, it's hard enough. So don't feel the pressure there. Hopefully what I can do today and help you see in your life journal is remove the pressure from feeling like it has to meet some kind of expectations. Who's giving you the pressure that you have to check off every day in your life journal? Yourself. Or some ethereal expectation out there that says, I've got to check all these boxes to be okay. And I'm here to tell you that you're okay. And I want your devotional life to be a heart issue rather than a duty issue. You know. And so don't let your schedule dictate it. Make time for it and guard it. What are you going to say no to say yes to spending time with the Lord, spending time in His Word? Last one there, quiet environments help eliminate distractions. For me, absolute silence is hard because I hear a creak of the floor or a stirring of a little one or, you know, somebody in the hallway or something like that, and I'm distracted. You know, so I like to turn on a little music, keep it pretty low. But just that more that quiet environment allows us to not be distracted so easily. And we live in a world where noise is ever present, right? I mean, the TV's always on, radio's on in the car, phone's always going off, people are calling us. We're in community in our workplace and different things. And to be silent almost feels foreign. You know, well, I spent some time by myself quiet, really watching TV and having 1,000 different images in your head and 1,000 different conversations and thought to thought and show to show. You know, so just know that quiet environments help those distractions go away. Number two tip, start small and aim big. You know, I heard it mentioned earlier on that I'm kind of new to this thing and I want to have, you know, victories. Don't feel the pressure to have like the perfect devotional life right now. Get some small victories, some small W's. Problem is, we want Bible study or a devotional life to be more than it really is. It goes back to those pressures I was talking about. We have these expectations that my devotional life should look like this. I'm reading for an hour and praying for half an hour, and then I'll be ready to do God's work. You know, if you start putting time limits or things on there, you just start to have these pressures that don't need to be there. You know, our world drives us by what we do. In Western world, what you do matters. And so it's eked into our devotional life. And if 15 minutes is all you can handle, then 15 minutes is all you can handle. Start small, but aim big. And you'll find as you get traction, you get victories, and you get more along in the marathon, you have energy, you have strength to go, you have spiritual sustainability to keep going. And so let me remove those pressures from you. They're ill-created, they're not real, and they're not from the Lord for sure. You know, it should be our obedience and response to Him in devotional life should be out of the heart, not out of the law, meaning I have to do this today. And this is, you know, probably heretical in most churches, but hear me say this. Maybe the best thing you could do to spend time with a God some one day, you know, or sometime in your life is to go take a walk. You know, to go out into nature and to experience and just to sit by a river, by a lake, you know, in the forest, take a walk around Woodward Park or something like that, and that could be the best quiet time you could ever have. You know, and we'll get to some of those variety things in a little bit. There are different ways to approach the same study. That's the second one there under start small, aim big. For some of you, you know, you're going to get into a routine that I sit down, I pray, I open my journal, I begin to read. Reality is maybe you need to spend some time listening to music, or you need to take a walk before you do it, or you need, you know, there's people that stretch and do yoga kind of stuff just to get their body, you know, in a place that's more relaxed and more focused. There are different ways to approach the same study. Maybe you take some time sometimes to read out loud. It's always awkward but different, but you start to hear and interpret things different if you read things aloud. You know, whiteboard this sometimes. When I say whiteboard, I mean take a white piece of paper and just write out some different things you could do and try them. Trial and error. You'll never be surprised how an idea might come up and you think that's silly until you try it and you're like, that really worked. And it becomes this kind of expression, this growth for you. And the last thing under that section in tip two, I want you to feel the freedom to relax in the Word. To take a breath and really trust that it is the all-inspired, inerrant Word of God that you have. The very words from the Creator of the universe, you know, who breathed into us life and existence, gave us a Bible and we have it sitting here. And we can take great confidence in that and just relax and go, yeah, God, you gave us your Word. You're going to change me. I trust you in it. And so as I try to get traction and wheels on this thing called a life journal and faith and a devotional life, we can relax there. you know, and just feel that freedom. Let me take off all those pressures and those ceilings of complexity you might have right now and get you moving forward with health. The next tip right there is know yourself. God designed you uniquely, and he wants you to use your gifts and talents for his sake. You are created very specifically. God gave you the hair, the curves, the nose, the eyes, the toes, the whatever for you for a very specific reason, and also a brain that processes things in a unique way. If we all process things like Brad did or like I did or like Mike did, where's the diversity in the body? We don't need a bunch of eyes. We need eyes and ears and hands and hearts and lungs and legs in the body of Christ. So just rest in that God designed you uniquely. If you haven't been through Discovery, I encourage you to do that. There's a survey you'll take, kind of a personal assessment called Your Unique Design, and it's fascinating on what you'll learn about yourself and how you're wired and how you operate. The other one there under Know Yourself is Know Your Best Times and Worst Times. For me, there's a period from about 2:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon where I'm worthless. If I'm caused to do something of substantial energy or weight then, it's usually not going to be very good. I kind of go into this brr mode, you know, it's that funk like after Thanksgiving. Had too much turkey and stuff and you're just kind of sitting there like, ugh. You know that part about your day and don't set your devotional time in there. And just realize, hey, I'm not going to be at my best, so I'm not going to have a great meeting here. I'm not going to have some energy and time to creative stuff. I know I need to be really creative when I'm not going to be creative. So just know yourself and be honest about that. And coming to that recognition will help you guard the other times as well. Tip four, have a plan and look for one big idea. You know, the plans of a man are in his heart, but the Lord directs his steps, Proverbs 16:9 says. So we need to somehow put into action and have this organization, this structure, this plan for us to move forward. If we think it's just going to happen, we find ourselves in the cycle of, oh, it's just going to happen. When I get there, if I get here, when I get married, I'll be happy. When I get a job, when I get a retirement, when I blah, blah, blah. We always look to the future and nothing's happening in the present. So we need to have a plan, and that's why part of the reason we've introduced these life journals here at the church to begin to move forward with a plan. SOAP, I'll mention it briefly, and I've got a handout for you when you leave. But it's just scripture, observation, assessment, and then, what's the other one here? Let me flip to it.
Prayer.
Yeah, so you're going to read the scripture. You're going to make observations about it. Okay. I ask questions in my life journal a lot. I don't write a lot of words like, God, you are so wonderful and beautiful and thank you for this. And I'm not real flowery like that, but I ask questions. You know, it was talking in 1 Corinthians 6 yesterday in our life journal about use your body for the things of God because it's not your own. You were bought with a price. So I said, do I really believe that? Do the things I put into my body reflect the idea that this body is God's? You know, and I struggle with, like, fast food because of pace or whatever. I struggle with, you know, just, oh, that snack looks better than this. And I don't feel the pressure to be, you know, everything healthy, everything all the time. And I don't eat shrimp because it's from the devil or whatever. But am I really using that into practice? And then another question hit me just reflecting on that. You know, I was thinking, as a pastor, you're always thinking for teaching moments sometimes. And I thought, why do we teach people not to have sex before they're married? I go, the Bible never says anywhere specifically, don't have sex until you're married. But it does say here, honor God with your body and flee sexual immorality because your body is not your own. And as Christians, then we realize, you know what, the body isn't ours, it's God's. And so I'm going to do the honorable thing and keep sex intended for marriage, in which it was. And we see a different scripture. So it's just fascinating. I ask questions. So under observation, you could do that. Find an application. We'll get into more of this in kind of a one big idea. And then prayer. Praying things back, you know, to Lord, just thank you for this, thank you that I see it. And it's conversation. Prayer language doesn't have to be real formal and these and thous. It can be just like you're talking to a friend over coffee and wrestling through things and say, you know, I say all the time, God, I don't understand this. What do you mean by this? You know, and then I'm just quiet. It's not like he ever answers me verbally back, but I'm processing the information. So that's what SOAP is. It's one way. Don't feel you have to do it. Try it for a day in your life journal. If it doesn't work, particularly for me, it doesn't really work. It's too rigid. I'd rather read, find some things, you know, a focus idea or something, and then just kind of sit and let it ponder, reflect through it, or pray through it. But it's one way, and a lot of people use it. Focus and observations, you know, look to identify in Scripture when things stick out. You know, old Chinese proverb, the nail that sticks out gets the hammer. Sometimes there's things that God is just using his word that stick out like a nail, and he wants you to hammer in on it and see it And so make those observations, and when things come out in your focus and you're like, huh, and you feel a wrestling in your spirit, or you feel something that you're processing life and that scripture's speaking to you, call a time out and stay right there on that scripture. The other thing is, don't feel the pressure to read all those all the time. For some groups, we've had to tell them that are leading, life journals and groups, hey, just do the New Testament. And for a lot of younger people, it's hard, especially newer in the faith, to try to get traction on Old and New Testament. You can't even find the books it's talking about, let alone understand what they are. So start small, and focus in and make those observations on the New Testament, because that's going to be more application-oriented. One of the things I put distraction paper and notes, and this is just for me, it's more of an idea than it is a guideline. I keep a piece of paper with me or a little notepad when I'm doing a devotional or prayer time, because I'm so distracted about stuff in life all the time. I'll be thinking about this meeting or what I need to say here, or if I'm teaching, or something comes up I want to teach on, I start going there. So literally I keep a piece of paper. If those things come up, I write them down. Because for me, when I've written them down, I know that they're kind of out of this time and I can process them later. And then in my day, I bring this paper and I kind of filter out where all those things need to go. So keep that with you. A little paper, it's like if you think about people or things you need to pray for or tasks you have to do that day or conversations you need to have, just write them down. That way you know you've thought about them and you can come back to them rather than letting it spur you off in your devotion time. Praying Scripture back to God. One little book here I want to show you is a book called Handbook to Prayer. It's by Kenneth Boa. And it's real easy. You can get it at Berean or Majesty or any Christian bookstore usually, and it's real thin, and it's just the idea of it. Take Scripture, and it uses it as praying it back to God. I know one life group that takes the Psalms when they show up in their life journal. They take it as time to pray those Psalms to God. And praying back at the end of the group, that's a great idea. This book breaks down into like 1, 2, 3 months or weekly, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so you can just literally go through it in addition with your life journal and say, okay, we're on day 14 of the month. Let me pray this adoration prayer from Psalm 139. We'll end with one of those today just as something different. But praying Scripture back to God and being verbal about it is really neat in groups as well. Plan variety once in a while. Plan for things to be different. Say, this Saturday, I don't really have anything going on. I'm going to take my life journal by and we're going out to Woodward Park, where I'm going to go sit in Pane and get a good cup of coffee in those big comfy chairs by the fireplace this winter and have my devotion there. Plan for variety, because you'll just be surprised at how much God uses that change of pace sometimes to see things differently, changing perspective. It's like that movie with Robin Williams when he's the teacher, Dead Poets Society. One of the first things he does has the kids stand up on their desk and they're like, just to get them to think differently. The common time and common place are great, but we also need a little bit of variety, or it'll become too rigid sometimes, And so get out and do different things. Take a walk with it. Go sit with a spouse or a significant other and dialogue about your devotional time as you're reading different things. Just make it a variety every once in a while. And then the last part, and really the focus, I think, to a devotional life is walk away with one idea for that day or period, okay? That you just want to have one thing and focus on one thing. Reality is all Scripture could affect us at a time. I mean, we're dealing in our life journal today, 1 Corinthians 7 and 8, deals with divorce. And there's so many tracks that could go down. Find one that God's stirring in you, and if it's not really, just pick one. Say, I want to think about this and maybe commit this Scripture to memory or process this specifically. And you'll start to gain. You'll win these little chunks, and then you can take bigger bites later. You're weaned from the milk, like Paul says, and the meat of the word comes in. So one idea, or one big idea for that day or time period. And that idea can go through a week. Life journals usually are when they're in a life group setting. You talk about what you've read that week. And like for me, this 1 Corinthians 6, your body is not yours, has just been staying with me through the week. Allow those things to stay and to fester in your soul, because God may be doing something. And don't just punt it because the day's over and the box just checked. Tip 5, celebrate the victories. A lot of times we watch God do things and we experience things, and then it's kind of yay in the moment and we forget about them. Tell people about them. Second one there, write down answered prayers or growth moments. If you're praying through something and God answers it, both positively and negatively, write it down. And then in 6 months, a year, go back and read those things. It's always funny to pick up your life journal a month or so after you read it and read some of the things you did, and you're like, wow, yeah, God was doing that. And it just reminds us of how he's working in our life. And in the times of hopelessness, we can look back on those great victories, and we can have strength and courage to keep walking forward. Last one, praise God for his handiwork. there just should be a sense of thankfulness in us as Christians that we're letting His Word change our lives and what He's doing, especially in a devotional life. You know, and you find yourself, I found myself, as I've gotten older in my Christian years and still have a long way to go, but I'm praying more simple prayers like, God, man, thanks for this day. It's just, you know, we're in a great season of weather right now. The mornings are cool, and I take my son on a walk sometimes in the morning, give mom a break, and we're just going, I'm like, man, this is awesome. You know, I don't have to worry about some guy with a gun watching me where I walk, you know, or that I can come to a church freely and park and get out and share the word with you guys today and talk about what God's doing and not be afraid if somebody's listening in on a microphone. You find your perspective changing as you grow in time. So praise God for His handiwork.